What an interesting scripture story to be thinking about in these strange and uncertain times in our lives. And I say that because the story is about someone gaining their sight, someone who has never seen before and now does. And I feel like such a story might especially speak to us in these days because we too are gaining our sight, almost as if we have never seen before. That is to say, now more than ever, our eyes are being opened in new ways, and we are seeing things we didn't see before, noticing things we have never noticed before. We're having our eyes open to new realities, new information, new uncertainties, new understandings about how we are connected to each other and how our lives are dependent on each other and what it is that we are willing to sacrifice and what it is we don't want to give up. And how all of that is reshaping our lives day by day, even minute by minute. Each day, each moment, we are having our eyes opened, almost as if we were blind before, and now we see. And in terms of the scripture for this morning, that means that right now, perhaps, we can get inside the story of Jesus healing the blind beggar, and this story can get inside us in some fresh ways, offering us perspectives that we didn't, maybe even couldn't, hold before. So let's consider seeing from the perspectives of some of the different characters in this story. First of all, since they come first in the story, how about trying to see with the eyes of the disciples? When the story starts and Jesus and his disciples come upon this man who has been blind from birth, the disciples' first question to Jesus is this: Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Through the eyes of the disciples, it looks like someone did something wrong, maybe even terribly wrong. And whatever the wrong was, it resulted in this suffering. A couple of weeks ago, we would have said, those silly disciples, disease and disability isn't anybody's fault. It has nothing to do with sin. But now we are all thinking very carefully about the consequences of our behaviors and how what we do affects or could affect the health of our children, our parents, our grandparents, our friends, our neighbors. If we were to gather in large groups in public places or have contact with someone who is medically vulnerable when any of us have a fever, or maybe even when we don't have a fever or a cough, but we've been failing to practice social distancing, then our sin could have consequences, not only for us, especially those of us who are younger or healthier, but also for another generation. Maybe we can see in new ways with the eyes of the disciples, at least in the sense that we can see in new ways our connectedness, how our actions, our sins, are not just ours, but ripple out to other people, and sometimes can condemn them to the consequences of our behaviors. And how about seeing through the eyes of the blind man's neighbors and those who had known him his whole life? The neighbors are next in the story. Once Jesus heals the blind man, the neighbors can't believe their own eyes. Is this the same man who was blind before? It can't be the same man. It is the same man. How can it be? They trust their own eyes, but they don't trust their own eyes. Because when something happens that we have never seen before, we don't quite know what to believe. Does that dilemma suddenly sound familiar? Maybe these neighbors are skeptical because we are all skeptical when the unimaginable comes crashing into our world. Is what I am seeing true? What can I trust? Who should I believe? The politicians, the scientists, the public health officials, the economic experts, the local government, what I read on social media, my neighbors, my own eyes? Skepticism can blind us for sure, but so can ignorance and inexperience and a simple inability to recognize the unrecognizable. Is this the same man who was blind before? It can't be the same man. It is the same man. How can that be? Knowing when and whether to trust our own eyes is always a challenge, even more so now. The man whose eyes were opened answers his neighbor's questions. He has firsthand experience, so he can answer their questions. And even that seems not to convince them. Maybe it's the same with us. Have you been listening recently to people who have firsthand experience with the virus or with quarantines or with the consequences of not taking it seriously enough? Have you been listening to people with firsthand experience? Or have you been more likely to trust your own opinion, your own eyes, so to speak? And how about seeing through the eyes of the Pharisees, those devoted teachers of religious rules? The Pharisees and their perspectives show up throughout this story. They find out about Jesus healing the blind man on the Sabbath day, and they decide that since Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he is not from God. After all, can a sinner, and included in that category is someone who heals on the Sabbath, can a sinner perform miracles? That doesn't compute for them. In their worldview, there are holy guys and there are unholy guys, and only holy guys can do wondrous things. Jesus does wondrous things like healing, but he's got to be an unholy guy because he does it on the Sabbath. It's confusing. It's confounding to them. It's that old problem of putting people into categories, into boxes, and not letting them out. You understand their dilemma, right? They wear certain lenses, the lenses that tell them what is and isn't godly, the lenses of Sabbath practices and holiness rules and religious customs. And then when what they see right in front of them doesn't match up with what they have been accustomed to seeing, the way they have been accustomed to seeing, they don't know what to do. 1 + 2 = 4? That doesn't work. But they can't imagine that there might be another factor, just one that they can't see or have previously dismissed, or that they just don't want to be there in the equation. The Pharisees would prefer the world to be as it has been, as they have understood it and defined it. They don't like wild cards. They don't like people or things that challenge their ordered understanding of the world. This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And it's not just them, and it's not just then. It's us as well, and it is now as well. When the pattern of what has been doesn't work anymore, or when there is a new set of rules, or our behaviors and commitments need to be changed or reinterpreted, how do we react? We might be like the Pharisees, unable or unwilling to see past our own familiar ways of making the world work for us. So, disciples, neighbors, Pharisees, and how about seeing in this story through the eyes of the parents of the blind man, because they are up next in the story. When their turn comes, they get questioned about this miracle and they reply, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes." "We don't know what's going on," is their answer. "We don't know, and we really don't want to be involved. You should ask him. He's of age." Now, those parents could choose to stand shoulder to shoulder with their son. They could define what they see in terms of the perspective of loving and supportive parents and say to the Pharisees, "Listen, he was our son when he was blind, and he's our son now that he can see. And what really matters here is that he can see." They could say something like that, but the scripture says that they were afraid. They were afraid to admit to what they were seeing, and not just seeing the healing as a reality, but seeing it as a cause for celebration, because they were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. To see things differently upsets the status quo, and sometimes it's just easier to keep our heads down. And yet we can be sympathetic to them, the man's parents. We can understand what it means to see with their eyes, because how often have we too sidestepped our own calling to be who we are, our own responsibility to step up and recognize very clearly just what is bad news and what is good news, and then to advocate for the good news and to own whatever it is that demands that sometimes we stay with the herd and other times we have to lead the pack. Certainly, we can sympathize with the parents and how they struggle with the call to be who they are in times of stress or pressure. When confronted with questions by the religious authorities to be who they are, the man's parents, people who rejoice in his good fortune, even if it puts their own status at risk. Okay, so we've thought a bit about what it means to see things through the eyes, the perspectives of various characters in the story, the disciples, the man's neighbors, the Pharisees, the man's parents, but there are still two characters left, Jesus and the man he heals. What about seeing through the eyes of Jesus? Our particular faith tradition has sometimes talked about seeing with the eyes of Christ. In fact, we were talking that way long before anyone came up with the catchy question, what would Jesus do? We've talked about seeing with the eyes of Christ and discerning the mind of Christ and being the hands and feet of Christ for a long, long time. So what does it mean for us to see through the eyes of Jesus? In the story, Jesus seems to see what he always sees, the person right in front of him. He sees the person right in front of him with compassion, with forthrightness. He sees the person right in front of him as a person in need, but he also sees each person, each situation, as a potential moment, a potential interaction that might teach and testify to something of the will and way of God, as a moment to teach us about God's way of healing and faith and grace. Why is the man blind? In John's gospel, Jesus' answer to that question and every question seems to be this. This happened for a time like this. This happens so that God might be revealed. So Jesus spits on the ground, makes dirt into mud, puts it on the man's eyes, and sends him to wash in the pool of Siloam. Why? To heal him, yes. But also, he tells the disciples, to show that as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. In other words, when he sees and when we see the person right in front of us, and act with compassion and extend healing, we bring light. Light so that others can see. To see in this story through the eyes of Jesus is to look in the direction of light, toward Jesus' testimony of light. The disciples can blame, the neighbors can doubt, the Pharisees can resist, the man's parents can avoid, but Jesus would always bring the light. Jesus will step into the light, and therefore bring us all into the light as well. Right now, in these days in which we are living, this crazy time in which we are living, you can't see what's next. You might be tempted to blame or doubt or resist or avoid. That's only human. But Jesus, in this story and through his Spirit, is sending us courage. Jesus is sending us clarity. His work and ours, therefore, is to bring light into a dark time. Okay, one more perspective from the story, the perspective of the man blind from birth himself. He's the man who couldn't see before, but now sees everything with that courage and clarity that I was just talking about. Yes, Jesus gives him his physical sight, but it seems that Jesus gives him courage and clarity. And that's important because in the story, those things are in short supply, and right now, those things are in short supply. People keep questioning the man who has been healed of his blindness, and he just keeps answering them with courage and clarity. Are you the man who was blind? Yes, I am. How were your eyes opened? A man called Jesus did it. What do you say about him? He is a prophet. Give glory to God for what happened, because this man who healed you is a sinner. I don't know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, though, that I was blind and now I see. They keep pressuring him, pushing him, doubting him, pressing him. And finally, the man who now sees says this. Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and who obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He has that kind of courage and clarity. And what does it gain him? Well, the Pharisees throw him out of the synagogue. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The man goes and meets up with Jesus again, and Jesus confirms his identity to the man, and the man says, Lord, I believe. We are going to have our eyes opened in these days in which we are living. We are going to see and learn things we didn't know before, day by day. we will see each other and see ourselves and see our neighbors and our leaders and our world with new understanding and awareness. Our eyes are going to be opened in the days and weeks ahead again and again. And as that happens, I pray that your eyes are opened to truth, and that what you see doesn't stir fear in you, but stirs compassion in you. I pray that you will be your true self in all of this, the person of kindness and openness that I know you are. And I pray for you in everything, in every decision, in every action, in every response under pressure, the courage and clarity that Jesus gives. Jesus the healer, Jesus the prophet, Jesus the light of the world. Amen.